Welcome back to the show. We are on episode 142, and today we are going to talk about five things that you can implement in your hospital birth to make it feel more like a home birth. Now, why are we doing that? Well, if you can have a home birth, I would love if you should just have a home birth. It's going to be much easier for you to feel supported, for you to support physiology, for you to let your body do its thing, and you're more likely to hit your goal of having an unmedicated birth. This is why moms all over the world choose home birth. But if you can't, I get it. There's so many reasons why maybe you want a home birth or you want all those things, but you are choosing to birth in a hospital. And if that's you, then you're going to love this episode because we're going to go over five things that we can take from the home birth and implement in our hospital birth so that we can have a more positive experience. While I'm getting my sourdough out of the oven, I wanted to take a second to invite you to a class that I am hosting on May 23rd that is all about having a home birth in the hospital, or having a more home birth-like birth in the hospital setting. This is going to be about an hour-long class. I haven't done a live workshop in a while. My kids have kind of traumatized me with doing live things, but we're gonna go for it. We're gonna try it. So I'm gonna put the enrollment link in the show description. Do not wait. Go grab a spot, because the first 100 to sign up for the live class are gonna get in for free. Now, if you miss that spot, or if you just want to upgrade to VIP enrollment, it is worth the $7, okay? You're gonna get lifetime access to the replay. You're gonna get a workbook. You are going to get a Q&A session inside of the private Home Birth in the Hospital Facebook group. So if you want that additional support, just go ahead and sign up as a VIP. You'll be able to come live and you'll get all of that bonus support along with it. So do not wait, go grab a seat. I cannot wait to see you in the class. I am so excited to be sitting down recording podcasts. I feel like it's been a while since I've recorded a podcast, and podcasting is my favorite like to-do thing. It's my favorite part of my job. Well, that's not true. I really like our weekly calls that I do with both my Unmedicated Academy moms and my Ambitious Birth Worker moms. So I love those calls because it's so fun to connect with the women in my programs. But my favorite like solo task in my business is podcasting, because I just get to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And I love talking. So today it's Sunday right now when I'm recording, and it is sourdough, podcasting, and laundry day. That's what I'm working on. I made myself a really fun drink. I have some raw milk, some Just Ingredients chocolate protein, and a little tiny bit of coffee over ice. So it's kind of like a mocha. It is delicious. If you haven't tried Just Ingredients, if you're looking for a good protein powder to up your protein intake while you're pregnant, which is really important, or if you're looking to up your minerals while you're pregnant, also really important, they have great clean products. You can use the code FierceLizzie to get a discount. And if you're like, what? I need more protein. I need more minerals. Be sure to get into the birth prep class. It is currently a free class that I offer. It is so good. I need to be charging for it, but right now it's free. I'll put the link in the show notes. I talk about some of the nutrition things that you should be doing in pregnancy to help just have a great, healthy pregnancy, and also to help you stay low risk, which is going to help you get to your goal of having an unmedicated birth. Speaking of unmedicated birth, actually speaking of birth prep, let me also mention this. Nora is restocked today. So Nora has your red raspberry leaf tea. It helps prepare your uterus. It has great minerals and nutrients, again, for a healthy pregnancy. It's going to help support your body for your unmedicated birth. It should be in stock still. I'm restocking today. If you're listening to this day of, Last time I sold out in a day. So don't wait. If you click the link and it's sold out, be sure to put your email in. I always send the email first before I let everyone know on the podcast or on Instagram that it's restocked. So if you are responsible and you check your email, I'm not. I would miss the restock every time, you guys. You'll be notified first. So Nora is restocked. Okay, now speaking of your unmedicated birth, today's topic, 5 things, and these are things you can literally put in your bag, but they're also some things that won't fit in your hospital bag. So 5 things that can make your hospital birth feel more like a home birth, which is my specialty, right? You guys know I really wanted a home birth, and with my third, I didn't know about home birth. I wish I knew about home birth with my first. I wish I would have just had a home birth with my first, because once you have a home birth, you do not sacrifice your birth location after that. I feel like that's true. Like every woman that's had a home birth, they pretty much will never go have a hospital birth, because this is really important before we get into this episode. The home birth and the hospital birth are 2 different things. It is honestly, it's like comparing apples and oranges. So when I say, I try not to say like have a home birth in the hospital. I try to use my words carefully and say, make your hospital feel a little bit more like a home birth, because you will never have a home birth in the hospital because they're just completely different because you're not at home. Like that's the best part, is being home. But there are some components from the home birth that we can bring into our hospital birth to have a better experience. And we're going to talk about 5 of those things right now. So number 1 is bring an outfit for labor. So the hospital gown is a huge no, 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 no. It is not comfortable. Okay. It's like bulky and starchy. You can't like keep it on. It's really super ugly. And people wear hospital gowns when they are sick and dying. You are not sick. You are not dying. There is nothing more disempowering than a hospital gown. I can literally feel it right now with my first 2 births, because I did it. I put the hospital gown on for a moment. I am team be completely naked, but there for sure I was laboring in a hospital gown with both my first 2 babies. And I can literally feel what it feels like. I can feel the gown on, and it's like, it's not like movable, breathable. I can also feel, because I have the hospital gown on, because I'm doing the traditional hospital birth, because I didn't know anything the first 2 times, or I didn't know enough. I shouldn't say I didn't know anything. I still didn't get an epidural, right? I knew just enough, but I feel restricted in this gown, but I also have on all these monitors, right? I have the straps on my belly that are super tight. I can feel, like when I imagine myself wearing a hospital gown in labor, I'm holding on to a pole and I'm dragging a pole around with me. Because I also, with my first, had Pitocin. Because I also, with my second, had antibiotics. And I think they had me, I can't remember if I had IV fluids. You get fluids when you have antibiotics. I say that because with my second, he had a super inflated birth weight, because I had a bunch of fluids and I was so puffy and so swollen. So it's like, I had an unmedicated birth. I didn't have an epidural, right? But it still had medications. I had antibiotics. I had IV fluids. I was puffy. So it's like, I talk about this all the time, right? I talk about an unmedicated birth isn't the same as a physiologic birth. That's why we're talking about bringing some aspects of the home birth into the hospital. So, but the first thing, pack a labor outfit. So what can you wear for labor? Whatever you want. Plan to like that at some point you're going to want no clothes and you're just going to want to be naked. A lot of moms, if their waters break, they like to wear like a diaper so they're not leaking fluids all over. So plan that could be part of the plan. The hospital will not have diapers. They will have mesh underwear and some sort of pad to put in there. So you may want to pack, if you are team adult diaper. I like the mesh underwear, but for laboring in, it's a little, because you want to be moving a lot. the pad like doesn't stick to the mesh underwear very well. And one hospital I was at, they didn't even have pads. They just like folded up like a chuck pad and put it in there. So talk about disempowering. It's like a giant chucks pad in between your legs while you're trying to like use movement because your fluids are leaking, right? Hopefully your waters just stay intact. But just consider that you may want to pack that as an option. You can wear a robe. You could wear an oversized t-shirt with nothing on the bottom or underwear on the bottom or little shorts on the bottom. You can wear a bra, like a bralette with underwear or little shorts, like whatever combo that you're going to feel comfortable in. Consider having like layers, because a lot of us don't, like I said, a lot of us like to be naked and not have anything touching us. So you may want to like have layers you can take off. Also consider that you may feel like hot, cold. That's why a robe is always really nice. You can also get they sell hospital gowns that are softer and cuter and fit better. So that's also an option too, especially if you're worried about getting, you know, blood or fluids or poop or vomit, all of which can happen in birth, on your clothes. Oh, my sourdough. I got to go get my sourdough out of the oven and then we'll go to number two. Number two is to bring all the things that are going to help with the ambiance of the room. So this is going to include like your sight, your smell, and your auditory, what you're hearing, right? At home, you are like in your element and your guard is down. And honestly, it is so much easier to surrender to birth at home where you are comfortable and you have privacy and it feels intimate. These are all things you need to let birth unfold. Now the hospital room, kind of like the gown, is really cold and clinical. And that environment works against birth because, again, in birth, you need to feel safe, secure, and intimate. But you can help control the environment a little bit by bringing in some things that are kind of pleasing to your sight, sound, and smell. And look, maybe you're like, Lizzie, this is extra. I don't want to be that mom bringing in all this stuff into her hospital room. Okay. You're paying a lot of money for this room. So who cares? Who cares? Be that mom. Don't be embarrassed. Be unapologetic. Make that room yours for the night. Bring whatever you would like to make it feel more cozy. Now, hopefully you're not going to be in the room very long. Because you know, my number one tip is to labor at home as long as possible, but you may still be in there for several hours and it could be during the most intense portion of your birth. So it's okay to go ahead and bring the stuff. Okay. If you don't have time to set it up, that's fine. Okay. Better to have it and make your space a little more homey feeling than to not have it. This is something you also need to train your partner or whoever is going to be with you on what to do with the things, because you may not be able to do it when you get there if you're close to transition or if you're in very active labor. So a few things to consider. I used to say a Bluetooth speaker. Now I am more so team Bluetooth headphones, especially if you have like a pair of kind of like noise canceling ones, because it can drown out some of the interruptions that are happening. And like, what better way to say, don't ask me stupid questions than having those on your ears, right? And this also allows you, not only does it drown out some of the clinical noises or the interruptions that are happening, it also allows you to fill your ears with whatever you want to hear, whether that is your labor playlist or like hypnobirthing tracks, anything like that. Highly, highly recommend making two playlists, making like a hype up dance playlist to like hopefully get you smiling and dancing around and, you know, pumping up some endorphins, getting in some movement. But there's going to be a point in your labor potentially where you're like, turn that off. Be quiet. Don't talk. that's where the second playlist comes in. That's very chill and calm, because you don't know which way you're going to go and when. So having kind of both. Another thing you can bring is some mood lighting. Now, mood lighting is going to immediately make the space softer. Fluorescent lighting has no place in the birth space, okay? So bring, like, you can bring some plug-in or some battery-operated, like, twinkle lights. Heck, you could even bring, like, a salt lamp if you wanted to. I've seen doulas use, like, these really cool light projectors that kind of make it, like, twilighty. In the room, like it's like a like stars and it's like purpley. I'm sure it's for like a kid's room at night, you know, but how cool would that be to have that be the feeling in your room? Another good option is bringing battery operated candles. That's another one that makes it feel very calm and peaceful. These things are going to They're such small things to throw in your bag that make a big impact on how your space can feel. Lastly, your sense of smell. Consider bringing like an oil diffuser to either like, you can utilize aromatherapy here and you can look up like, oh, well, what kind of smells are good for labor? Or at the very least, just to have like some sort of pleasant smell in the room. You can even use this smell in your birth prep, like when you're doing your breathing techniques, when you are practicing relaxation techniques, getting like a roller or something with this smell and smelling it to trigger like, oh, I'm calm. I am breathing. I am releasing tension, and associate that with that smell, and then having that smell in your labor space. It's a great idea. You want to consider that you will potentially not like smells when you're in labor. So just consider that as you're picking the smells you want to utilize. So like peppermint and lemon are really popular ones. Lavender is another popular one. Just nothing too strong, because you, again, similar with the music, you may get to a point where you're like, oh my God, that smells awful. Get it away from me. Okay. All right. Number three is to bring food. Bring food. And bring drinks. You're literally, this is so weird. This is so weird to me that, especially if you think of like home birth, at home you have like access to everything in your kitchen that you always have access to. And then when we're in labor, we go to this room and there's nothing there. There's no kitchen, there's no fridge, there's no snacks, there's no water. There's not even water there. Okay. The hospital is not going to feed you at all. And they're not going to feed you well, the food that they do have. The cafeteria will likely be closed when you're there. If you're there in the middle of the night, there is no, the cafeteria is not open. There's no way to go get food. And there's like, you know, the hospital food is just not great, even if the cafeteria was open. And also, we're not following the outdated advice of not having food in labor. Like, we are going to bring food and we're going to bring snacks. Make sure in early labor that you just maybe like eat a meal, like your normal meal at that time. But packing snacks. So bringing snacks, bringing a whole meal if you want. It's hard because you don't have like a fridge. I have definitely had clients bring their cooler in with them and have like bone broth in there, coconut water. You could pack a sandwich. You could pack like real food in there, right? So that is a great idea to have ready. It sounds extra, but you're also, if you're going to be there for a whole day after you give birth, why not have these things with you? Why not? There should be a microwave somewhere there that you could use too, if you wanted to heat up food, especially like in postpartum. I'm thinking you should be eating like warm, nutrient dense foods, right? Also consider that you won't be hungry in active labor or transition, right? But it is important to have some fuel, because birth truly is a marathon. It's long. It is physically intense. It requires you to have fuel and stamina. So again, always eat in early labor, like a meal that is substantial. You don't want to go too crazy because you might throw up, right? You don't want to go too crazy with your flavors and like what it is, just consider that, especially I've never thrown up in labor. A lot of women don't, but a lot of women do. And then also be sure you pack food and snacks for your partner too, because we need them in tip-top shape. So whoever's going to be there with you, make sure they have a meal, snacks. It's better to be overprepared than underprepared. So pack a cooler if you like. All right, number four. Here's where we're getting to the things you can't really put in your bag that are not going to be on a hospital bag checklist. The one thing that's going to make your hospital birth more like a home birth is not having interventions. So home birth does not include cervical checks. There is no continuous fetal monitoring. You don't have straps on your belly. There is no saline lock. There's no Pitocin. Okay. Those things are not necessary for low risk moms. Obviously they're not necessary because hundreds of thousands of women are birthing at home at birth centers without it. The hospital's going to make you think you're crazy for saying no to these things. They are not necessary for low risk moms. Here's what happened is you're a low risk mom and you walked into a high risk environment. So they're going to treat you like a high risk mom. But if you don't want high risk outcomes, don't agree to high risk care. And additionally, there is evidence that shows these things do not improve outcomes. So they don't make your birth better or safer by having them. Okay. Now, real quick, the continuous fetal monitoring, because someone is probably thinking like, well, I want to know if my baby is doing okay. Yes, of course. We don't do continuous fetal monitoring in home births, but we do fetal monitoring. We do it intermittently. It's not a machine strapped to your belly the whole time you're in labor. Okay. Also, you can tell that your baby is doing good because your baby will be moving around while you're in labor, and you can kind of check in with your baby that way as well. And then the last one, the last thing to bring to have in your hospital birth, you can bring this one, but you can't fit it in your bag. It will not fit in your bag, but you should bring this to the hospital, is bringing the most informed partner. Or this could also look like hiring a doula. So probably the best part about a home birth with, you know, with a good home birth provider, because they're not all the same. The best part is you don't have to ask, beg, or fight for what you want. That's the best part. This is why women give birth at home and don't touch the hospital, is because the things they want are respected and they don't have to fight for it, because we shouldn't have to fight for what we want and what is reasonable and what is normal while we're in labor. We shouldn't have to do that. So if you've done your due diligence and you found a provider that's in line with your goals, and it's just accepted that there will be no cervical checks, no epidurals, no wires, no cords, no beeping, no rushing, no coercion, no manipulation, that's going to be, you're going to have the best experience. That is not a guarantee though. It's not a guarantee that you're going to get that when you walk in. First of all, you don't even know, you might not get your provider depending on where you are and how big the hospital system is. You might not even get the provider that you saw while you were pregnant, right? So by having a really informed partner who is ready to advocate, who is ready to say like, her birth plan says not to mention the epidural, or like, she doesn't want a cervical check, right? Right, babe? No cervical checks, right? Or maybe he's going to say, can you give us 5 minutes to discuss this? Having a partner like this, or a doula like this, because not all doulas are willing to advocate like that. Your partner actually has a little bit more wiggle room for advocating. I don't know if that's the right word, but their advocacy will be taken a little more seriously than your doula's. And you advocating will be taken. Well, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes hospitals listen to the man more than the woman. But sometimes hospitals will say, well, she's the one in labor. and make you want to say it, right? Because they think you're easier to manipulate and coerce, really, honestly. So anyways, what I'm trying to say is if your partner is ready to say these things, it can help protect your peace a lot and make it more like the home birth where you don't have to fight for the things you want, right? You have someone there that can help you with that. Because the fighting, the having your guard up, the arguing, the, you know, we are not meant to be combative in labor. In fact, that's going to increase your adrenaline. And that is an interruption to the physiologic birth process. Imagine any other mammal. What do? Like a dog is going to go have puppies. A cat is going to go have kittens. Any other mammal, they go off and they find privacy and they are secluded. And if something dangerous was going to come, that would mean that they were going to die and their babies were going to get eaten, right? And so in that moment, their labor will stop. If there are dangers, their labor will stop. And we are mammals. So birth can not unfold correctly if we feel threatened, which is why women have home births, right? So this is why it is imperative for you to find a provider and have a partner that can help you with advocating so that you can stay tuned in, hopefully, right? And be focusing on your birth and not have to do that fighting. And you know what I'm going to say next. I talked about this in the last episode, that the perfect birth plan is not enough. You really need to understand your options and your rights, and that advocacy piece is crucial. And if you missed the last episode last week, I literally read you my birth plan from 12 years ago, and it's perfect. It's great. It has everything that I wanted. It has everything that I would want today in my birth, but I didn't get it. And that's what I talk about in the episode. I didn't know my options. I didn't know my rights. I didn't know the red flags from the hospital. I didn't know what they were going to be pushy on. I thought they were going to just support everything that I wanted as long as everything stayed low risk. And that's just not true. And this is exactly why Unmedicated Academy is advocacy based, because that is the missing piece I see over and over and over again. Moms wanting an unmedicated birth, feeling forced to follow the hospital routines. They may or may not get to the end without an epidural, but they're just not feeling like they had a powerful and positive birth. And that is because the hospital routine is not how birth is meant to be. So if you are able to have a home birth, please, please, please look into home birth. Please, I'm telling you, it will just be a easier path to getting the birth you want if you can find the right home birth midwife. Now, if you're planning a hospital birth and you want it to feel more like a home birth, you know that is who I love to help inside of the program. I would love to help you do that with confidence and with certainty and with a really solid strategy.